This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily. We are glad to be with you here. One more time before we go live out at Intrust Bank Arena. We'll be just north of the arena there. Be doing a lot of stuff with FanFest. I believe that, Tommy, what is, you probably have more insight on this, even though I'm going to be out there, not just for us with the radio, I'll be out there also for TV, it looks like, on Thursday, hanging out, which, I'm looking forward to it. There's nothing I'd rather do than hang out with a bunch of crazy college basketball fans on Thursday afternoon. Weather's going to be great. It's going to be fun. FanFest, I think I saw there's going to be like food and drinks.
Oh, yeah.
I think TVs up there. Like what all is going on there?
Yeah. So it's basically the city of Wichita Parks and Rec. They're, you know, making this probably the biggest overall party around March Madness. And I know that there are a lot of them, a lot of different parties happening downtown around the arena. But this is one that is free, open to the public. You don't need a ticket to go to. And it's in Nafsker Park, which, if you remember, back in 2018, the last time that the tournament was here in Wichita, Nafsker Park wasn't Nafsker Park. And they've done, a significant change down there. We'll be not just KFH, but just our entire Odyssey family of stations. We are owning the stage down there, so we'll be doing stage announcements, playing music, introducing things like pep bands and cheerleading squads and things like that from all the different teams that are going to be playing in Wichita. And there's going to be food trucks and drinks, and they've got the big video board to play some of the games for the crowd there in attendance. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I think the best part is, like I mentioned, it's free to the public. You don't need a ticket. You don't need to get anything in advance. Just show up and enjoy yourself.
I think the TV part will be, I'll be there with you. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
It'll be, so you can come even after we get off the air. We'll have presence down there pretty much all day.
Yeah. I plan on being there.
So stay hot.
Our show runs 7 to 11 Thursday and Friday. But then I'll be there all day, all evening, you know, every day of it. So it's going to be a long few days, but it's going to be totally worth it. And even on Friday, when there aren't games scheduled to be played in Wichita, FanFest will still be going on at Nafsker Park. We'll still be down there. There's going to be activations and parties and events and things like that.
Good place to come watch games.
Yeah, for sure. And the fact, like, keep in mind, like, you've got fan bases of these teams that win on Thursday that they're going to be hanging around Wichita, you know, for another couple of days because they play again on Saturday. So it's going to be fun events for them to come back down to and all of that on Friday. So it's going to be a blast, and I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, you know what? It's a good point. I haven't even looked at the weather on Friday morning.
It's beautiful.
Is it going to be nice Friday morning?
Well,
too?
I'm sure be chilly, but it's not going to be as cold.
I know it won't be as cold.
It won't be as cold, but it'll be better. Yeah, it'll be better.
But I think we get, let's put on our weather hats here. I think we get the return of, it's going to be windy. It'll be warmer Friday, but it'll be windier. And as far as us, when we're live on the air, we talked about tomorrow, it'll be cold Friday morning. Yeah, we better put some rocks in our pockets. It will be warmer, but the wind will be blowing about 20 miles an hour. So we'll have to bring the windscreens for the microphones. Tony, if you're listening, pack up the windscreens. We're going to need them out there. But it'll be fun. I cannot wait. Here's the other thing that's going to make it even better than it was in 2018. We couldn't bet on games in 2018. Now that we're there, Kansas is a legal betting state. like all of these, not just the games that are happening right in front of us, but all around. Like, it's almost like the biggest sports book in the region, right? Like, you're all going to be hanging out with basketball fans. Everybody can just hang and kind of, there's games all day. It's not just in Wichita. There's games all over the place. It'll be a really cool place to go watch the games in person that are happening inside Intrust Bank Arena. And it'll be a really cool place to go watch all the other dozens of games that are happening all over the country, but watching them just outside Intrust Bank Arena.
I got to tell you, I know you weren't able to be a part of it a year ago, but we did our show live on both Thursday and Friday of the opening rounds of the tournament last year from the Kansas Star Casino, from the FanDuel Sportsbook. That was unlike anything I've ever been a part of. Like, you've got, and you know, it's an actual sports book, obviously, but you know, you've got people there ready to watch all the games. They've got every single game on all the major, you know, video boards and everything in the sports book. It was pretty wild. It was pretty frantic. So, you know, take that and multiply it by like 1,000, and I'm sure that's what we'll have outside of the arena the next couple of days.
God, it's gonna be fun. Our 250-1 Shockers to win the NIT bet is dead.
Yeah, that $10 went away pretty quickly.
The only bet I've made so far, which was to parlay the Shockers and my wife's Aztecs, went by the wayside last night in real quick order as North Carolina. You know, I mean, is there any doubt North Carolina's winning their first tournament game after that one? I mean, of course,
they look really good. I mean, I like Ole Miss. I like Chris Beard, so that's who they'll play. So I've got Ole Miss moving on, but man, North Carolina flexed a little bit.
I had that 11 through either way, no matter who the winner was.
It's a good thing it was North Carolina, because San Diego State did not look good last night.
No, they didn't. They did not. In the other game, they had Alabama State with a buzzer beater. It was great.
Oh yeah, that was fun. I mean, like that baseball pass down the, you know, full length of the court for the layup.
Can't believe that actually
a second
worked.
To go. That was great. That was, I mean, the very first game of March Madness is a buzzer beater. I mean, that's what we live for. That's why we do what we do.
Rick asks, is Mahomes going to come for the Tech game? I would say there's a good chance. Yes, I would bet he does. Maybe not for the opener, but for Saturday, when it's a nice, you know, 6-3 matchup, or whether it's Drake or Mizzou. Could you imagine if it's Mizzou Tech? I mean, Mahomes has got to come for
what
that,
a matchup,
right?
That'd be, well, because I, you know, I would imagine.
Even though I have Drake winning that game.
I've got Drake winning that game, too. I think either way, it's going to be a phenomenal matchup.
I do, too. That'll be one of the better games of the round of 32. That one would be a lot of fun either way, because Drake's so good that no matter what the outcome is, you'll get a tight line and a good game. But yeah, I would guess, Rick, that Mahomes comes through. Yes, I would imagine that will happen.
By the way, I don't know if you're planning on wanting to talk football at all on today's show.
Yes.
A little bit of breaking news from the NFL Network. The Vikings are not actively considering Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback.
That just came down a couple minutes ago. I didn't want to do it in this short segment, but that is the next segment. So that's out there, combined with what the Steelers are saying. And I think the appetite for the Rodgers show is dwindling, which will make his courtship interesting. Jay Glazer also said yesterday that I think Glazer and Rappaport, whatever, a couple of the insiders said that Rodgers is planning on taking his time. And boy, I just don't know. I don't know if people have an appetite for that this time around. It sure doesn't seem like as much as they have in the past. We will get into that in the next segment. Didn't want to cram it in here. This is a shorter segment. Thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee for keeping us fueled up each and every day here on the program. And thanks to Crestview Country Club, another great time of year for them as we get ready to golf a little bit when the weather plays nice. Not today, probably, Tom, even though if you get that wind behind you, you might be able to drive it a little while. That looks pretty good.
Yeah, that's fun. Fun when you get the wind behind you. I don't know if you'd want to do that with the wind into you. That's kind of the trade-off, but it's going to be chilly and windy today, next couple of days. And, you know, I'm sure with, you know, all the tournament games and everything, I don't know, I'd rather be watching a bunch of college basketball than going and playing golf. But, yes, you know, once we get through this opening weekend, then yeah, I definitely will be back on the golf course.
We got like a wine tasting coming up, don't we? I think we're doing a wine tasting out there. You guys are dragging me to a wine tasting. So we went to a beer tasting recently, and I showed up late and had no issue. I just chugged my beer, right? Like, it's no big deal. Is it acceptable to do the same thing with wine? Like, if you guys have, if I roll in, because I get off TV a little bit late, but if I roll in there and you've got, like, how many wines did you try last time?
Five or six, I believe.
So can I just have, like, my lineup of five wines and just start knocking them down? Is that socially acceptable?
That was all your wife. I mean, with the beer tasting, like, she made sure that you had a cup, even though you weren't there, and that they lined it up in front of where you were going to sit. Because I think otherwise they probably would have just not left anything for you. So, you know, like that, I think you can definitely do that. I'm sure that's acceptable.
Okay. That's what we're going to do.
And really, even if it's not acceptable, who cares?
Well, I don't. I'm more, you know, I feel like your wife might care if I embarrass you.
My wife embarrasses me. Like, I embarrass her and she embarrasses me all the time. Like, it's just our life.
That's good to know. Yeah. That's good to know. I will. My wife certainly cares if I embarrass her. Whenever it's my go-to now, as an example, at a restaurant, when I don't know what something is, I, as redneck as I can, ask the wait staff, what is this? Whatever, you know, whatever, like, French word it is for, like, cheese. I'm like, what is Fontaine? What is that? She gets really embarrassed by that. So I enjoy embarrassing people.
Like the soup du jour. It's the soup of the day. What's the soup du jour? Greatest, what's the soup of the day?
Greatest movie of all time. By the way. All right. We're going to come back here. We're going to talk about this Aaron Rodgers situation. I don't know what's going to happen here. I think his options are dwindling, as is the appetite for teams to deal with this long, drawn-out process again. It feels like there's one place he'll go. And there was news that they don't even feel like it's like, just come or don't come. Like, we don't care. We'll be fine with or without you. We'll talk about it next. We've got more to do. We'll give away some HGO this hour. We'll talk to Shreya Slaughter, our KU insider as well. It's Sports Daily on a Wednesday.
Dude, you gotta hear this. Hear this.
Go ahead. I think I want to hear this.
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. We've got Shreya Slaughter, KU insider, coming in just a little bit. He just dropped a story of taking you kind of inside the life of the college athlete and some of the things online that have been hard on a KU roster and how they're using it. You can check that out. We'll have him in. You can talk to us about it in just a little bit. We're going to talk a little football here, Tommy. Aaron Rodgers. So the reporting yesterday, Cam Hayward came on and said, you know, either come or don't. We don't really care. I'm paraphrasing as far as the Steelers are concerned. And then this morning we get that the Vikings appear to not really be interested anymore. And they're rolling with J.J. McCarthy. I think that's a good sign for J.J. McCarthy. But I think it also is an indication of nobody wanting to wait this long and do the song and dance for a 42-year-old?
Yeah, I think that's a big key of it. I've been critical of Aaron Rodgers for a long time. I think that he's incredibly selfish, and it's all about him. It always has been. It's all about his individual accomplishments, not really ever about the team. Like, all these different things that I've been critical about him for a long time about, I think that teams are finally, like, kind of weighing the benefit versus the cost of having Aaron Rodgers on their team. And part of it is they have to kind of wait around for him. He's not a team focused guy where it's like, hey, I want to do what's best, not only for me, but for the team that I'm going to, you know, potentially go and play for. It's kind of like, nope, you'll wait for me. And I will make my decision when I'm good and ready to make my decision. And I think that the Vikings are a team right now where they're like, you know what? We don't want to deal with this. We don't need to deal with this. We've got a young quarterback that we feel good about. And, you know, assuming that he's healthy, we're going to ride with him. And I think it's a cost-benefit evaluation for teams like the Vikings and the Steelers, probably even the Giants too, that have been vying for Aaron Rodgers' services, where they're just like, It's not worth it. It's not worth the headache anymore.
Sure. And look, we're in a different situation with Rodgers. The Jets were desperate, right? A. B, they thought they were getting still a Hall of Fame caliber quarterback. So they were desperate when they were willing to put up with it. The Vikings aren't desperate. They're not. They're like the furthest from desperate. They feel like they can win a Super Bowl with a quarterback they took in the first round last year. The Steelers are always good, even with bad quarterbacks. So, like, they're not desperate. You think Mike Tomlin's desperate for Aaron Rodgers? No. You think he's sitting by the phone just like, you know, a teenager waiting on the callback? Teenagers text back, I guess, now would be more appropriate. Like, no. Like, these, if those are the two teams, that you think the Giants are desperate?
The Giants know they're going to suck either way. I think the Giants know that, yeah, Aaron Rodgers may give them a few more wins, but he's not leading them to a Super Bowl with the roster that they've got. I mean, remember, like, yeah, the Jets were desperate, but Aaron Rodgers went on a freaking darkness retreat to decide if he wanted to play for the Jets. Like, it's a joke. It's a joke. And, yeah, he's won multiple MVPs. He's won a Super Bowl, but it was a long time ago. And I think teams are just like, is it worth the hassle? Is it worth the headache anymore?
I mean, he had a good year last year.
He was fine. He was fine.
He was better. You know, he's better than what a lot of teams roll out there. He was fine. I think there are still.
But it's a cost benefit. Is it worth him being fine? Is the headache worth him being fine?
Well, it's all about, do you have a suitor, right? Like, do you have a team? So the two teams we just mentioned, like, they ain't got time for that. They're not gonna mess around with that. I mean, the Steelers could bring back Russell Wilson.
Absolutely.
What's the drop off from Aaron Rodgers to Russell Wilson?
Mike Tomlin and their GM, I heard or read yesterday that they had dinner with Jalen Milroe ahead of the NFL draft. You know, so like they're trying to cover all their bases right now. They don't have all their eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket. The Jets had all their eggs in the Aaron Rodgers basket. The Steelers don't. The Vikings clearly don't. I don't think the Giants probably do either. So at this point, it's like, yeah, I guess Rodgers, do what you need to do, but nobody's going to be like waiting with bated breath on your decision at the end of it.
There are two teams I think that still might, if things don't work out, the Niners or the Browns. Those could be two teams that get desperate real quick, right? Like if the Niners can't figure it out with Brock Purdy, Rodgers is a pretty good consolation for a team that still feels like they can compete. And the Browns are a mess. Right. They know they have nothing. If they decided not to go quarterback early in this draft, they probably still feel like they've got enough talent with Myles Garrett coming back. Right. I think those would be the last two teams that could be desperate potentially. But the two that you would think Aaron Rodgers would want to go to or be most likely are not those two teams. That would be the Vikings and the Steelers. I've said Steelers from day one. The Steelers have always made the most sense to me. I still think that's ultimately what's going to happen. But I think what you're seeing with Cam Hayward is just, excuse me, setting the table now so that if this happens, like they're not going to be dealing with any of the outside nonsense. Like if Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh, like if Rodgers comes here and is our quarterback, great. But it's not going to be the distraction it's been other places. And honestly, the Steelers are as equipped for that as any team. Like if Aaron Rodgers went to the Steelers, where do you think, even as a quarterback, he would fall in line with loudest and most influential voice in that organization? Because I would say no higher than third and maybe even lower than that.
Behind Mike Tomlin, behind TJ Watt and...
Yes.
Who else?
Cam Hayward.
Yeah, good point.
Ownership.
Yeah.
Which is as strong in Pittsburgh as it is anywhere else. I think, and again, honestly, that's why I think it's a good fit. Because I think Rodgers can strictly go there and play quarterback.
Yeah, I don't think it's a good fit because of that. Rodgers has never operated like that before. Like Rodgers had a tremendous amount of power in Green Bay until he didn't, and then he left. And he was like, I don't want to do this anymore. Like, as soon as he wasn't the most prominent voice in the room, because Matt LaFleur came in, they had a new GM, like, Mike McCarthy let Aaron Rodgers be the voice of the team. And then Matt LaFleur was like, no, nope, we're not doing this anymore. They had a new GM, said, nope, we're not doing this anymore. They drafted Jordan Love. Aaron Rodgers took exception to that. was upset that he wasn't the top dog in the room anymore, even though he was, but his perception was that he wasn't the most influential voice anymore. And then he threatened to retire and leave, like all this stuff.
We ran McCarthy out of town.
He's
not going to do that here.
But I don't think he's never operated where he's just been a quarterback before. He's always needed to be the smartest guy in the room, the loudest voice in the room.
He's going to get a chance.
I don't think that he knows how to operate like that. And I'm not sure he wants to operate like that. In my opinion, if there is, you know, not as much of a desire to entertain just the lunacy around Aaron Rodgers like there has been in years past, and there's not an appetite around that anymore, I think Aaron Rodgers would rather walk away and retire.
Maybe.
I think that that's going to be a part of it. If he doesn't feel like he's desired, you know, and lusted after even by these organizations, I think he'd rather just take his ball and go home.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't think he's ever going to humble himself.
I think what I'm saying is
not most influential person in the organization. Because even with the Jets, when the Jets were, you know, in the middle of a dumpster fire, even though for a period of time Rodgers was not playing well to his standards, Robert Saleh got fired. You know, like there were all of these different changes that it wasn't like Aaron Rodgers was having the finger pointed at him. It was everybody else around him. He had a ton of power.
He wasn't that bad last year. I think my point is it's going to be crystal clear. If Rodgers goes to Pittsburgh, it'll be crystal clear that that's not the same situation. So if he does decide to go there, he will have embraced that, because I think they're going to make that right up at the front very clear to him that they're not going to deal with any distractions. And so for Rodgers, it's like, okay, I can go there and try to win a Super Bowl or not. And it's not about all the other stuff. And so we'll find out. And I'm with you. I mean, if Rodgers doesn't want to do that, he can just walk away. But if he does go to Pittsburgh, which is why I think it's a good fit, like if he goes there, that will be that'll be out in the open. It already is. Look at what Cam Hayward's saying, right? Like they're already telling you that without telling you that. And we knew that anyway with Mike Tomlin. Like Mike Tomlin, he's not going to put up with that crap. He's just not. And they don't need to be desperate with it either. The one thing I don't think they can do is bring in like Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson. That would obviously be a problem. Like you're going to have to just make your call at some point. There's some more reporting on the Vikings piece of this, which of course is that they are not going to do anything with Aaron Rodgers. They don't consider him an option, according to Kevin Seifert of ESPN and Tom Pelissero, leaving J.J. McCarthy atop the quarterback depth chart. It was never likely. It had been discussed. Other people are backing that up. Yes, they had discussed it, but it was, as we assumed, as more of like a backup plan to J.J. McCarthy. And so maybe that tells you that. And I think what gets interesting is, was it Rodgers that wasn't interested in that? And I would get him not being interested in being a backup plan. Like I get that part of it. He wouldn't be a backup plan in Pittsburgh. He'd be the starter. But if you go to the Vikings, that is always going to be up in the air. Like
there's going to end up being a quarterback controversy at some point or another, where even right. if J.J. McCarthy wasn't ready to go at the start of the season, you know, let's say midway through the season, he's ready to come back. Then the conversation is, does Rodgers give up the throne? Does he graciously step aside for the future quarterback? Because he didn't do that in Green Bay for Jordan Love. He would have rather left. And so I don't think he would have been able to humble himself, you know, to be able to do that at some point. And I think the Vikings probably would have felt like they needed to hang on and let Rodgers play out the season or whatever. And then you've got another year of J.J. McCarthy not playing. And this time, more than likely healthy and not playing.
I'm glad it's not Minnesota, because I want to see J.J. McCarthy. And I don't want him to deal with that. The Giants, according to Fox Sports, I'm looking up at it right now. He's focused on the Steelers and the Giants. The Giants, I mean, the Daboll and those guys might be desperate enough. I don't think the door's totally closed on the Giants, by the way. If they had any sort of competent quarterback play, they could make a playoff run. That's not crazy to say.
with better quarterback play.
They made a playoff run a couple of years ago with Daniel Jones at quarterback.
Right, that's
and then
what
things
I mean.
Kind of
and
fell
the roster
apart.
Hasn't changed that much yeah. since then.
Well, they don't have Saquon anymore, so like that's a
right.
that's a major
that's
piece
the big
of it.
One. But they also have Malik Nabers, and right. they have you know they've got some talent.
And they like Tyrone Tracy. I mean, he's not.
Hey, he was fine.
He's not Saquon, but I mean they feel like he's fairly competent. I did see that Bill Cowher. You know, and he's obviously very well connected to the Steelers organization. He gave a ringing endorsement for Russell Wilson to come back as the starting quarterback for the Steelers. He was on Dan Patrick and said that he felt like familiarity was the most important thing and that Russell Wilson would be the best fit for the Steelers to be their starting quarterback. Honestly, even though I'm not a Russell Wilson fan either, I kind of agree with him. I kind of feel like if I'm Mike Tomlin, I don't need the headache of Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, while things didn't end particularly well for the Steelers last season, I feel like I almost value the organizational harmony a little bit more and the way that, you know, I felt like Russell Wilson kind of redeemed himself a little bit after the disastrous run in Denver and played decently well in his time in Pittsburgh. If it's me, if I'm Mike Tomlin, I'm going to advocate for Russell Wilson and then maybe draft a quarterback in the NFL draft. I don't know if I want to deal with the headache of Aaron Rodgers.
Let's put their season side by side. 336 attempts for Wilson. Just in so Rodgers played.
He played more. I mean, Justin
quite
Fields
a great deal
in
more.
Yeah.
So the stats are going to be a little bit inflated. But Russell Wilson had a higher completion percentage. Slightly, they were very close. Yards per game were very close. Wilson threw 16 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Rodgers threw 28 touchdowns. And 11 interceptions, very, very, very close. They were pretty close to the same
and you,
player.
And you
last
get
year.
The familiarity of Wilson already in the system, sure. already in the organization.
I would tell you that I think Rodgers would be better if you took all, just like, just on the field, like if you took all the other stuff and put it to the side and just said, which quarterback do I think when the game ends only gives the Steelers a better chance to win that. And I would say Rodgers still, but unfortunately you don't get to do that. You have to take it in totality. And Russell Wilson's done a nice job of kind of cleaning some of that up because it was a messy ending in Denver for him too. And it was a messy ending in Seattle.
Yeah,
for him.
I think he kind of redeemed himself.
He's
a little
not
bit.
Immune to any of this stuff either.
I thought he handled himself really well in Pittsburgh. I've been critical of Russell Wilson, and I like making fun of him and joking around about him. I thought he redeemed himself pretty decently. I thought he humbled himself well, especially knowing that he came into Pittsburgh and, you know, it was unclear about whether it would be him or Justin Fields. I thought he handled it really well. Of course, it ultimately ended up being him for the majority of the season. But at the end of the day, again, if I'm Mike Tomlin, I feel better with the relationship that I built with Russell Wilson for another season than trying to bring in a 41-year-old Aaron Rodgers who has a long history of undermining almost everything that his head coach ever wants to do. To me, that just, you know, even and knowing that the stat line from a season ago is very comparable between the two, give me Russell Wilson every day of the week if I'm Mike Tomlin for next season.
I don't know that I agree with that. I don't vehemently disagree with it. I think Rodgers gives him a better chance to win a Super Bowl than Russell Wilson does at this point. That's I'd really have to think about that because Pickens is a problem. Wilson still throws that deep ball perfect for Pickens. Like that fit's still there, but Pickens is such a knucklehead sometimes. Like if you took that piece of it out of the equation, I would definitely say I like Rodgers better. My concern with Wilson is, what if they have a Pickens issue next year? Then I don't think Russell Wilson gives you much at all. Aaron Rodgers absolutely still would.
I don't think that either Wilson or Rodgers, if I'm being completely honest, will lead them to a Super Bowl.
No, I don't either. But, I'm saying better chance.
Right,
to.
But I don't think either one of them will do it. But if you're looking at organizational harmony that can hurt a team long term, give me Wilson, because the Jets continue to be in, you know, basically survival mode. And I think Aaron Glenn can stabilize things for them a little bit. You know, they've had to do a hard reset from the Aaron Rodgers era. Green Bay, to an extent, had to clean a bunch of things up and bring in a new coach after Rodgers ran McCarthy out of town. And, you know, the Jordan Love era kind of got off to a little bit of a rocky start. I just think that what Aaron Rodgers can leave in his wake after he leaves an organization is not worth the risk, because I don't think either one of them are going to lead them to a championship. But for the future, I'd rather have the stability of Russell Wilson over the complete unpredictability of what Aaron Rodgers can do to you in the moment, and then the way he can potentially leave your organization when he's all said and done in shambles. And that's what happened with the Jets.
When the season started last year, Rodgers was pretty well behaved, though. Like, once they got through the offseason.
And then they started the year, what, 1-4 or something like that?
No,
and
then I know.
Things went off the rails quick.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about he was able to just, like, settle in and play quarterback, I think. But look, the Steelers just can't get a quarterback solved to save their lives, right? Like, if these are their options, they're not the worst options in the world, but they've got to find a long-term solution. But it's not going to be the Vikings. That's the news we learned today. The reports are that it's either the Steelers or the Giants, if both of those teams obviously are interested in Rodgers' services. Maybe Russell Wilson just ends up in the place that Aaron Rodgers doesn't, one way or the other. But that's sort of the big NFL news. We got the introduction, or the official, you know, ink on paper for the Bengals yesterday, Tommy, and the two wide receivers. Obviously, if you saw some of the video, it means a ton to Joe Burrow. Looks great for fantasy football. It's great for Burrow, who I think is as good as any quarterback in this league. I just don't know if it helps the Bengals get to where they need to be. We'll find out. They got a lot of pressure now. They got a lot of pressure in the draft to try and make up for some deficiencies that tying up that money is going to create for them. I think those are the big headlines from the NFL yesterday. Things are cooling a little bit as we head to the draft. Certainly.
Happy birthday, Andy Reid, by the way. Today is Big Red's birthday.
Do we all go have a cheeseburger today?
A double
to celebrate?
A double cheeseburger in honor of his birthday.
And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
We welcome in Shreyas Lada, our KU Insider, here to the program. Glad to have Shreyas with us here. Shreyas, you got a nice story dropping today, taking people inside what it's like to be a college athlete. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Folks can find it right now at the KC Star. But I want to talk about Arkansas first, something else you wrote about. You called it not lucky that KU matched up with Arkansas and then a little less so with St. John's. I actually think it's the perfect draw. When I look at the 10s and when I look at the 2s, I don't know that they were going to get much better stylistically than what they were able to get in this one. Tennessee, Michigan State, kind of the same vibe as St. John's. But when we know KU can get shot out of the gym, getting a couple teams that don't shoot the ball very well is as good as I think you could hope for Kansas.
Yeah, I think my deeming of not lucky was more so because I guess technically they could have had one easier draw. I think they were right. The second easiest, this thing. I think St. John's, if they make it past, which I think they will, if they make it, St. John's is an interesting thing because their defense is phenomenal, right? And KU's defense is not, or KU's offense isn't great, but their offense is pretty bad. So in a sense, there is a path to the Sweet 16 for Kansas because both the teams they play offensively are not fantastic. Especially with Arkansas, they're kind of I feel like the MO for this team, it feels like for years, no matter their coaches, athletic, long, lengthy dudes that play good defense and then run up and down the court, and they don't make a lot of threes. I think they're 200th and like 9th or something like that in 3-point rate. I think it's much worse than that. Actually, let me look. 201. And then the one thing that teams do well against KU is rebound the ball. Recently, they're like 249th in offensive rebounding. So Kansas does a good job on the offensive rebounding side of things, but their defensive rebounding has needed some help in recent games. So the fact that I think they got Arkansas is a lucky draw in that sense. But the one thing that to me that I look at this matchup and I'm worried about is, you know, Kansas plays a guy like, you know, Boogie Flynn coming back. That's a real NBA lottery talent, you know, level player. Kansas doesn't have a lot of those guys. I don't think they have anybody on that roster that's even a first round pick this year. If any of all of them declared, not a single one of them would be picking the first round. Maybe Flory at the end of it, just because, you know, everyone loves the illusion of what they could be because they're young. It's the NBA. But I think that's the thing with this roster that Cal has put together. You know, they have some young studs that, you who knows, they could have a good game against this Kansas defense. And I think for me, I'm not worried about this game if I'm a Kansas fan. But also, is there any game you can't worry about? Because they haven't shown consistency game in, game out, no matter the opponent. Like, for me, to believe that they can make a run to the Elite Eight or Sweet 16, I got to see them do it. We haven't seen them win two straight games that often this year. I think they beat Arkansas. I think they lose to St. John's. But I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
You know, it's interesting, Sharius, because Kansas in recent weeks, in recent games, they have made even mediocre three-point shooting teams look outstanding shooting the three. And they've honestly left guys wide open to shoot threes. And whether we're talking about coming off of ball screens poorly or not closing out, not getting a hand up, whatever it is, I feel like with a team like Arkansas and even St. John, like neither of these teams shoot the three particularly well. I don't think that Kansas has to play lockdown perimeter defense. They just need to do slightly better than what they've been able to do as of late in defending the three.
I completely agree. They've let bad three-point shooting teams look good, or mediocre three-point shooting teams is probably the better word here in some of these games, look really good. But honestly, on the flip side of that, I don't know if you guys noticed this. They, in the Big 12 tournament, they hit double-digit three-point makes for the first time all year in consecutive games. They haven't done that all year. That, to me, if you're a Kansas fan, that's a little nugget that I'm like, okay, I feel good. And I've been saying it all year, right? If you're not going to defend the three well, then you have to be able to make threes on the other end, which they haven't done. But Zeke Mayo is as hot as he's been all year. Three straight games with five made three-pointers. If he can carry that over to tournament play, they're probably going to steal a game or two that they have no business winning. Like St. John's, on paper, is a better team than Kansas, even if they're deficient offensively. They're the number one team in the nation on defense. They're led by a guy who was a Kansas guy back in the day, Zubi Ejiofor. Obviously transferred first year on the beat for me. A year after that, I thought he would stay. Obviously,
Hunter good.
Coming in, really good. So there's a little bit of that storyline. And they have a great coach in Pitino. And Cal, of course, is a great coach for Arkansas. So, you know, it's such an interesting draw for me with Kansas because there's so many different possibilities of what this KU team could look like that I can't really predict what's going to happen until the game plays out, you know?
I totally agree with that. Like, I just think I and it's this is what gets so weird. Like, I don't think Arkansas and St. John's are bad. I think they're both really good and capable of being really good. I just think they happen to be stylistically what kind of what Kansas has to see. Right. Like Kansas kind of has to see that if they're going to have a chance because they can. It's too we've seen it a billion times this year. Teams that hit three pointers, Kansas can't defend it well. And so we've been looking at it for a long time. I've had St. John's circled forever. Like I'll take my chances there with Kansas just trying to match up defensively with somebody that it already struggles on offense.
I completely agree.
Can they play Diggy? By the way, Diggy, I know that Bill Self has been frustrated with his defense. We've asked this question to you before. Can they play Diggy? Is he kind of a, if they need a spurt of offense, they can get a spurt of offense from him?
I think they need to play Diggy. I don't know if you're going to play Diggy a lot of minutes. Maybe it's only 5, 10, 15 minutes a game. But they have to play Diggy because he's the only guy on the bench that has any semblance of ability to get a bucket on demand. Right? Flory isn't there yet. You know, AJ Storr is too inconsistent. You know, Diggy, Shaquille Moore is recovering back from injury. You know, I really think they need Diggy to be able to hit like maybe 2 threes a game, every tournament game. That would go a long way, I think, for them to win games, but also take a lot of pressure off guys like Zeke and DeJuan, who are going to have to make open threes in this tournament if they want to go far, and take pressure off a guy like Hunter Dickinson, where he's making threes, but can we really, rely on him to make 2 threes a game like he did in the Big 12 tournament? I don't think so. So I do think, you know, the leash on him is going to be short just because if Shaquille Moore is healthy, that means or relatively getting back to health, then I expect him to cut into some minutes there because he's a better defender than Diggy is, and he can make the three-point shot. But I think Diggy's usage is 100% going to depend on can Arkansas take advantage of his porous defense because he's just a shorter guy. And if they can, then he will be taken out of the game quick, in my opinion.
So not to switch gears away from the tournament, Sharias, but I want to make sure we've got time to talk about your article that came out earlier this morning. And you and I were talking about it a little bit yesterday before it dropped, just the how social media is impacting this KU team. It's kind of a look behind the scenes on that. And of course, it was a big story a few weeks ago, Zeke Mayo receiving death threats and things like that on social media. Discuss a little bit about the origin of this story, what prompted you to write it, and some of the interesting things you found out.
Yeah, I was kind of chasing this story a couple of weeks before the Zeke Mayo thing happened. And the Zeke Mayo thing happened, and it kind of blew up on me a little bit because I wasn't sure how many people were going to be willing to talk about it, right, openly and candidly. And I had some sources on the KU side that were like, okay, I don't think I can talk, that we're non-players. And I understood, right? Like, it's a kind of inflammatory thing to talk about something. And Zeke said it best in the article where it's hard to talk about this thing publicly because there's not a lot of empathy for guys who make money these days, right? These guys are college athletes, but we treat them like professionals because they get paid hundreds of thousands, sometimes millions of dollars. And, I think one of the most interesting things to me learning about is how online this KU men's basketball team is. Tawan Harris has screenshots saved of tweets dating back to whenever. He sends it to friends, players, family members as motivation, positive, negative, whatever the tweets are. Grady Dick, Hunter Dickinson talked about how bad sports gambling has gotten where they'll have literal people in their comments be like, you had the best game of your life, that quote Grady gave. And someone would be like, why didn't you get one more rebound? Go die. That's the kind of pressure these guys are having to go through. And kind of, what I learned is, yes, these guys are terminally online. Yes, I think that's normal in every single college basketball team in the nation because they're 20, or 18 to 25-year-olds. And yes, they probably should log off sometimes. But, everyone has their own experience for it. I mean, with Zeke Mayo, he told me he regretted, sharing the tweets because – at the end of the day, he was like, people called him soft. And, that wasn't a thing where he was seeking empathy. He just wanted to showcase this is what we have to go through as athletes. And I think that's the most important thing you can take away from that story is we don't understand the withdrawal, like the negative or positive they get, no matter. This Kansas team is underwhelmed throughout this season. And it has been a story. I don't know. You guys have seen it on social media, how frustrated people are. And these guys are seeing it. They pay attention to it. They read it. They keep it as motivation, or maybe that even messes with their mind a little bit. I mean, like Mayo said. And, I think the biggest thing I can say to any fan or anybody, even media member, is remember when you're writing something, the other person is a human being at the end of the day. And I think that's something that we don't remember sometimes when we're frustrated with it.
I think too, like the conversations that you have with people we have here are far more, they're almost never personal attacks, especially for young people and unwarranted, mm-hmm. but it's a societal problem. The online voice is the minority. It just has the biggest megaphone. Most people don't wish ill on any of these dudes, but that the problem is nobody's, like, that's what you see. And for those people that might say, oh, they're making money, you can't do that, you just got to deal with it. I've been front public facing for 20 years. And as much as I want to say, oh, you just ignore it. If somebody says something that pisses you off, it pisses you off. Like, I mean, you can say you can just ignore it and not pay attention to it, but you have this natural inclination, I think, to defend yourself. And it's not as simple as them unplugging. They have their livelihood tied to online promotion, to like all the things that they're trying to do for their brand and their image. So it's not as simple as just like, I'd love to go in a cave and never look at social media again. I'm 100% honest about that. Yeah. I would love it, but I can't do that, right? It's part of what we do for a living. Same thing for them. They can't just log off. So it's interesting. And I worry about that. They're young people. It doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, whatever. You're young. Like, you haven't developed the life skills to deal with that. It's great stuff. Great insight. You can find it there at the KC Star. Shreyas has it tweeted. We'll get that. I'll retweet that too. Shreyas, real quick. You said you like him against Arkansas. Do you like him against St. John's? If they get to that?
I don't. Because who am I to believe that this team can win two games in a row until they do it? I just want to see it. I do think they're better the last couple of weeks than they looked in that spurt where they're losing to, like, call, you know, BYU and Utah and stuff like that. But I just want to see them put their money where their mouth is. I've heard it a lot. New season, new season, new season. Okay, well, this is it. It's shut up or it's over.
Get it done. They'll have a couple of chances at it. Shreyas, we appreciate it one way or the other. We'll be back here to talk about it, whether the season's over or they're playing in the Sweet 16 next week. Good stuff in the story. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, that'll do it for us here on Sports Daily. So glad that you've been here with us as we make our way through and get ready for a big next couple of days, Tommy. Get your beauty rest. Bundle up tomorrow. We got 4 hours Thursday, 4 hours Friday out at Interest Bank Arena.
Yeah, Tony Dusing, our program director, came in a little bit ago, said he's going to wear his ski pants tomorrow. It's going to be chilly.
Wear long johns.
We hope that people will come out early and join us. I know FanFest officially kicks off at 10 a.m., but I would imagine once the sun comes up, I mean, people are going to be filtering down there and having a great time. So yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Game start at 11. And they start in Wichita at 1, but nationwide they start at 11. So you can come down and start watching games, hang out with us right there as we leave the air. So we're looking forward to it. It's going to be a blast. We'll be there tomorrow. Come say hi. 4 hours live out at Interest Bank Arena. Thanks to Shreyas Lada for stopping by. Check out his great work at KC Star. For Tommy, for Max, I'm Jacob. We'll see you live tomorrow from Interest.